Today on Real Life Radio.
I love the romanticism that's in this. Jesus, though he kept all the law and sinned not because he was God in flesh, Jesus fulfilled all of the law and the prophets. That's settled. But he didn't indulge in the practices and the traditions of men, did he? What did he do instead? He invested himself in the welfare and the care of the sheep. You and I, the flock.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, The Day God Came Down. The only New Testament book written by not only a Gentile, but a medical doctor, the author, Luke, was commissioned to write an account of the life of Jesus. You see, the birth of Christ was the day that God came down in the form of a man. A perfect story if we just allow ourselves to believe it. A story that answers all of our questions about life. The greatest yet simplest story that brings love and peace to the world and offers forgiveness for our sins to all those who will ask. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when God came down to earth, he gave us a sample of heaven. Even though he placed himself in human hands as an infant, God still had a plan. He humbled himself, considering all of us to be worth it in order to save us. Now in his message called The Day God Came Down, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The greatest critics of the Bible, the greatest critics of the gospel, those that are trying to stop evangelism, they don't understand. And they don't care. They won't understand and they won't care until they're changed. They don't know what they're talking about. I don't condemn them. I pray for them. Listen, at this moment, the angel says a wonderful thing. This gospel satisfies those who receive it. And I want to ask you this question. Have you received it? Do you know what it's like to receive it? There's a sample given by the angel. It is a message and it is announcement and it's a blessing pronounced. How so? This manner. God was now among men. Will you jot that down? Why? What's the big deal about the gospel of the Bible? God now dwells among man because he says, I have good news. That's what the gospel means. Great joy. This word joy is overabundance of joy. It's overflowing. If you receive it, you will have joy overflowing, and that's the good news. Man, let me tell you something. If you don't have that in your life, something is critically wrong between you and God. You need to ask yourself silently right where you're at. Look, we all have pain. We all have suffering. We all have difficulty. But down deep inside, when the earth shakes and the hurricanes come and the typhoons blow and thousands are dead and there's a pandemic of disease, down deep inside, you can have joy. Joy transcends happiness. Happiness only works when it's going my way. Have you noticed that? It's true about your life. You're happy when it's going your way. That's the definition of happiness. By the way, this is what happens in marriages that go south. People, instead of blessing one another and serving one another and ministering to one another, they began to say, what are you going to give me? How are you going to serve me? What can you do for me? It goes from being a ministry to I want to be ministered to. It goes from I've been designed by God to bless you as your servant rather than God having it his way, which is the right way. Man says, now I want to be served. I want it my way. And we mess up. And we're not happy. If Christ dwells in your heart, there's a joy that transcends happiness. There is a joy. My heart breaks. I know many of you read this magazine. If you don't get it, I was reading it this week. Those three precious women on the magazine, Voices of the Martyrs, VOM. They were these precious women. I forget what country. Is it China or Thailand or somewhere? They were sharing the love of Jesus to children. And they've been arrested and they've been condemned to death. They're going to be beheaded because they were telling people that Jesus, they were telling children Jesus loved them. And this is Islamic presence that's there. In fact, in the courtroom, they said there was a repeated chant from those that were there that they had offended Allah and that they must die. How sad. But they'll have joy. See, Jack, I don't understand that. You and I don't need to understand that at this time. We're not in their shoes. But God has promised to us a joy. Heaven revealed. Heaven's not something we dream about. Heaven is something that we don't think about. Heaven is something that is a reality. And we're going there. Yes, it could be a while. There's a lot of young people in here today. It could be many years. It could be today. Are you ready? It's very important. And so the announcement is made about God being among them. The Lord has now come down among men, that there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. These are tremendous. These three titles are absolutely, absolutely, undeniably clear. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Who is the Lord? Well, He's the Savior. Well, who is the Christ? The Savior, the Lord. The Lord's the Savior. The Savior is the Lord. The Christ is the Lord. The Christ is the Savior. It's one and the same. That's why when you read your Bible, it's Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Same. God came to earth to be our Lord, to be our Christ, and to be our Savior. The Bible tells us, and listen, you can just jot it down, I'll paraphrase it. It's Leviticus 16:27 and Hebrews 13:12. Hebrews 13:12 and Leviticus 16:27 tells us that God's sacrifice for man's sin must be taken outside the city walls of Jerusalem and there offered up. That was given to Moses thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. What happened? Jesus Christ was taken outside the city of Jerusalem and crucified on a hilltop on Golgotha. Why? Because the sacrifice for sin, Jesus did that. Listen, because He is our Savior via sacrifice, He is our Christ, the Messiah. That being the case, we bow to Him as Lord. And we say, thank you, Lord. When we sing these songs of worship, we say, yes! Oh, majesty, majesty, these songs, yes, majesty. Do you ever think about majesty, what it's going to be like? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12 says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, which are the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, but that is of not of this creation. Hebrews 9:12 goes on to say, not with blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all and obtained eternal salvation or redemption for us. That's good news. The day that God came down, look at verse 12, was the day that God placed Himself into human hands. That would freak me out if I were God. That you would allow yourself to be placed in human hands? Can you imagine? Okay, look, you're the Creator, and you've created this thing, this human. The problem is, this human said, you don't know what you're doing. Sounds like a teenager, huh? Imagine a teenager turning to their parent and saying, you're crazy. You don't know nothing. And then the teenager going out the door, getting in the car, and the parent getting out and getting in the car with them, and in a sense putting their life in the hands of that teenager. Well, Jesus Christ came, and don't you think if you were going to take that kind of a risk, that you would come as an adult? And a big one. Really, you know, 18-inch arms. You know, looking like Schwarzenegger or something. Okay, I'm here to save the world. I mean, that's how I would have come. God comes to earth as a baby. You say, Jack, I've always wondered why. You're going to hear why in a moment. Why did He come as a little baby? He had to come as a little baby if He was going to accomplish the task in which He brought Himself to earth for. And it's, by the way, it's all for you. It's all for you. He placed Himself in human hands. The angel says, and this, verse 12, will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Translated, you'll find the babe, God in human skin, in human flesh, taking on humanity, absolutely helpless and in need of care. The word sign here in verse 12 in Greek is the word announcement, indication, the indicator. It means a miracle, a token, a pledge, a wonder. You will find the wonder wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll find the promise, the pledge wrapped in swaddling clothes. And a good Bible student stops and asks, as you all are good Bible students, you want to always ask this question, why? Why? Why is he the token? Why is he the pledge? This is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And allow me to put it to you this way. I can't literally separate it this clearly, but for argument's sake, allow this. God the Father sent God the Son to earth to be born into this world. And it was God the Father's business to preside over, to watch over, the development of His Son, now a human. The Holy Spirit's job was to not only do these great works through Jesus Christ while on earth, but to raise Christ from the dead after He was crucified and laid to rest. The triunity of God, though the word Trinity does not appear in Scripture, the doctrine of the Trinity is undeniable and is from Genesis to Revelation. When Jesus Christ here is the Son of God, He is not less than God. He is God in human skin. But during that time frame of His life, Jesus willfully practiced kenosis. Kenosis is Greek for the self-willed emptying. He didn't empty of His righteousness. He didn't empty of His power. It means this. Imagine for a moment, can't do it, but what if I took my belt off and set my belt right over here? Church, answer me. Is it my belt? The answer was yes. It is my belt. Do I have the ability to go get it anytime I want to? Yes. Okay, am I accustomed to that belt? Yes. It's nobody else's, it's mine, that's my belt. I have the right, the ability to pick it up at any time I want to. But kenosis means, even though I have that right, and I've created the opportunity, I choose not to pick it up. I willfully choose to be subject to the elements around me rather than do this. In fact, Jesus said it in a way that you know about. Remember when Peter tried to help Jesus out and cut off Malchus's ear? Peter, stay back, God! I'll defend you. Peter cuts that guy's ear off. Jesus, it's kind of, I think it's kind of funny in a way. Jesus probably looks at Peter. Peter, put away your sword. Man. Now, Peter, didn't I tell you to just, remember, he puts it back on the guy's head. Puts it back on. Peter says, put your sword away. Jesus says to Peter, put your sword away. Do you not know, Peter, that I have the authority to call down legions of angels in a moment? Ah, that's it, kenosis. Jesus is locked in a body, and He willed it to be so. He humbled Himself to become a man, even to the point of death. That's awesome. He didn't have to do it. But for you, He sees you worth it and loves you. And that's a great thing. The Bible tells us in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh. We know that the Word is God and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He is the great sign. Look with me in verses 13 to 14. And suddenly, verse 13 says, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I find it interesting, church. You'll see in a moment the shepherds doing the same thing that the angels do. They will praise God, and they will rejoice, giving glory to the Lord. But I want you to all look and get your pen ready, get your highlighter ready. Verse 13, and suddenly there was. Can you mark that word suddenly? And there was an explosion. There was a massive detonation. Something happened. What is it that happened? There was with the angel, singular, a multitude, plethora, an innumerable amount of angels. What's beautiful about this is, church, you might have to watch my lunacy for a second. An angel appears. What happens when that angel shows up initially? He shows up, and there's the glory that ensconces these shepherds. They're wrapped in light. The angels got to say, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. All this is going on. Wow. The announcement's made. The gospel's given. And it's as though all of heaven could not contain itself. Heaven explodes. If that initial angel had to rend the veil, maybe like a zipper, you have eternity in the spirit realm, finite in the material realm. You've got angels, you've got shepherds. The angel's going to transverse, he's going to invade time. He opens up, can you imagine? I've got good news! Tonight, today, in the city of David, Christ the Savior has been born. At that news, another whoosh opens up. Heaven opens. The sky is split somehow spiritually. And the shepherds see a vast host, innumerable of angels worshiping. These guys, it's amazing they didn't die of a heart attack. It was beyond anything you and I have ever known or seen. And this tremendous thing is taking place. In 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh," that's the birth of Jesus, "justified in the Spirit and seen by angels." I've told you before, it bears repeating, you've heard it so many times, but let's pretend there's somebody new here today. The beautiful thing about 1 Timothy 3:16 and that word "seen by angels," it strongly suggests to us that when Jesus Christ was born from Mary, it was the first time angels ever had the opportunity to see this Savior, Christ the Lord, in all of eternity. They had never seen Him before like this. Oh, they may have seen Him sitting upon the throne. They may have seen Him when they appeared with Abraham. They may have seen Him when He appeared in Christophanies or Theophanies in the Old Testament. This is different. This is different. The angels saw baby Jesus born. And the word "seen" in 1 Timothy 3:16 is that they gawked with wide eyes and open mouth. There He is. God, our Creator, now veiled in human skin. The angels gawked at the birth of Christ. I suggest it's not easy to impress angels. They were impressed. It's amazing. Verse 14 says that they gave glory to God in the highest, or glory to God in the heavens, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Quite frankly, in the original, it's peace to those of goodwill. That's the real word. And in other words, peace to those who are attached to this message by faith. Peace to those who receive this message. And so the question is, have you received this message? Why is it so important that Christ would come as a man? Church, quickly, keep this in mind. This is what we're talking about. It is a fact, my friend, according to the Bible, that when you hurt, Jesus resonates sympathy. He hears you. Now, you all know this if you've read your Bible. When you're confused, He resonates that and He brings you an answer. Listen, when you're tired, Jesus resonates, He feels, understands, and knows what it's like to be tired, so He becomes your strength. That's why, personally, I love ministry. I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings. I love you, but I'm not here for you. I am here because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm terrified, that's when I know He'll show up. Those of you who know me, you know this is true. You know that before service, my stomach is wrenched. I'm scared to death. I can't do this. But I revel in that weakness because if I step out, He'll show up and be strong. Amen. When I step up, then He'll show up and He'll be powerful for me. Why? Because I'm not powerful, but He is. When I'm scared, He says, "Peace be to you, Jack." Notice what you love about the Bible. When you read the Psalms, David is a fugitive. He's running. He's scared. And God says, "I'll bring you peace." When you look at the disciples on the sea, and the storm is raging, and they begin to panic and cry out, Jesus comes to them and says, "Be of peace and good cheer." Those of you who understand this, you've got to place yourself in that moment of absolute being vulnerable, because that's when God shows up the greatest. There's a secret to ministry. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And when you find that secret, that you stand there, that Jesus said, if you love your life, then give it up. If you want to retain it, you're going to lose it. What was He saying? He's saying, give your life to me, your will, your choices, your very plan. Give it to me and I will show you a life that you will never, never regret in this world and in the world to come. But if you protect your life and live it your way, you'll have no need of me. You'll have no need for me to show up. Don't ask me to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do anything with that. You'll have no need to call upon me and cry upon me when you're not interested in doing anything I have to say. He is awesome when He's dependent upon. And He reveals Himself to these weak, despised shepherds. He uses angels, and both parties are impressed. Don't you think? This is our God. But this thing about Him feeling and us feeling, us knowing something and worrying about it, and Him caring and blessing us, you know what that's called? In the scientific world, it's called sympathetic resonance. It's in acoustics in that study. What does that mean? If I were to hit a piano key on this side of the room, ding, I don't know anything about music, A minor. If somebody hits an A, is there an A minor? Is there? Come on, is there? Yeah? B flat, something? Okay, B flat. He hits a B flat. The moment the other guy over here hears the B flat, he hits B flat. This guy hits a C something or other, he hits the same thing. Ding, ding, same. Sympathetic resonance. It's an actual scientific acoustical term. It's a repeat of the exact sound of the exact thing, but it's coming from another source. Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby because how are you brought into this world? As a what? A baby. Even when you were a baby, oh, listen. Could it be that when we read the Old and New Testament together and understand the passion and the love of God for life, God is pro-life. Do you understand that? He loves life. He's the only one, and He'll always be the one who created it. He loves it. If He doesn't want life to happen, He doesn't allow it to happen. He loves life. Could it be when the Bible says, in my mother's inward parts I was formed, that there is a sympathetic resonance taking place because He knows what it's like to be an embryo. He knows what it's like to be born. He knows what it's like to be 6 months old. He knows what it's like to be 1.5, to be 3. He knows what it's like to fall off a hay bale and sprain his ankle. He knows. This is your Savior, Christ the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Day God Came Down. Thanks for being with us today. The Day God Came Down is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke, one of the four Gospels of the New Testament, and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that God wants us to know about the future? He really does. It's called Bible prophecy. And to learn how prophecy relates to the present, we've got a great event coming up. It's called Happening Now. Jack Hibbs and Amir Safate will be hosting, and it's on Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. We want to invite Real Life listeners to join us in person at Heritage Church in Escalon, California. Now, if you're not near the Escalon area, you can always live stream the Happening Now event at jackhibbs.com.
If you're familiar with Happening Now, it has been a presentation that we've hosted for a couple of years now that God has blessed. We're going to be sitting down together for 90 minutes regarding Happening Now. What's going on in the world?
Join us Wednesday, September 28th for Happening Now. You can get all the info you need at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.